I have Mitch Keller going to the Blue Jays for two reasons. Number one, the stuff and the performance is great. He's locked up long term. And considering that Max Scherzer and Chris Bassett are going to be free agents, considering Kevin Gausman has another year left, and this rotation could turn over almost completely in that period of time, having a good starter locked into a reasonable contract would be worth the prospect spend that it would cost. And it, the cost would be hefty, as it should be, because Mitch Keller's a guy.
Good morning, everybody. Tomorrow is Major League Baseball's trade deadline. Today also going to be the Steelers' first real practice in pads. So we're doubling up on the fun. We thought it would be yesterday, but Mother Nature had other plans. Hall of Fame game tomorrow. Fun week here. That was Jeff Passan, ESPN, Major League Baseball's biggest insider, arguably. We'll hear from a couple of insiders here over the course of the first hour of the show. He says his prediction, Mitch Keller gets traded. Mitch Keller gets traded to the Blue Jays, and he says Mitch Keller could fetch a hefty return. The Blue Jays are also rumored to be interested in David Bednar and or Dennis Santana. The asking price for David Bednar is another team's top five prospect. You would think Mitch Keller would yield that and more. Doran, a trade to the Blue Jays makes absolutely zero sense to me. The Blue Jays have the best record in the American League. That's why, obviously, they'd be buying. But they're not going to part with any of their major league bats.
No.
This is it. You heard about a couple of the players leaving for Toronto after the year. This is their season. They are better than the Yankees. They are better than the Red Sox. The Orioles were supposed to be a playoff contender, if not more than that. They're in the basement. Tampa's having a decent season sitting at 500. They need to make good on now. That, to me, tells me they're not going to part from anything off their major league roster. Okay, so go get a big-time Blue Jays prospect. That'd be great. Except a little digging this morning shows me they don't got what's the Buccos need, Doran. Their top prospect is also their top hitting prospect. He's a shortstop. Sounds so good so far. He plays in high A. Arun Namala. There's a bunch of names today that I think I'm going to screw up, so my apologies on the front end. Their next six highest-rated prospects, the Blue Jays, are pitchers. So their number one hitter ain't going to be up until 2028, according to MLB Pipeline. That's their projection. The next six guys are pitchers. The guy after that is a hitter who has a nice hit tool. He's got eight home runs on the season. He's got decent numbers in AA and AAA this year. One more thing. That's where the Buccos got Spencer Horowitz from. Mm-hmm. And that scares me away.
Yeah.
I agree with what Passan said at the end of that clip. You should be able to get a lot for Mitch Keller. I just don't think Toronto makes a whole lot of sense. And if they came back, even if it's a top 50 prospect like this shortstop in high A is, I need a top 50 prospect that's going to play for the Pirates this year or next year. And so if you're going to get a guy from the Blue Jays who's close to the big leagues, he's not going to be a highly touted guy. This has me worried. Passan doesn't say stuff because he's guessing. He's probably heard some stuff. I'm not seeing a fit. And if Ben Charrington's making a deal with the Blue Jays, I'm ticked off.
Can you do a three-team trade?
That's a good question. You could.
I mean, from my recollection and my, you know, what I've seen out there is that they have a high asking price, and the asking price for Mitch Keller or Bednar would be a major league bet. And I'm at the point right now where I don't think that they'll get anything done and those guys will still be here.
I think Bednar's going to go. I think Keller's going to stay.
Okay.
And I think that will be a crime. Because of how Keller's finished the last couple of seasons after the All-Star break, something I've said probably way too many times on this show. Chris Mueller brought it up yesterday on the PM team too, and he had different stats than I did, but they all point to Mitch Keller being bad in the second half of seasons. But also the general lack of available starting pitching right now, and the fact that Mitch Keller for any other organization in baseball is affordable, you're not going to get more for Keller in the offseason than you'd get right now.
Mm-hmm.
Teams are desperate right now. Desperation leads to people doing silly stuff. In college, no one rolls over on a Sunday morning and looks to their right and goes, wow, that was a great decision. The woman I met at Jack's at 3:15 a.m. No, you struck out all night long, you're desperate, and you wake up next to a beluga whale. That's not nice, but you know what I'm saying. Desperation can lead you to make bad decisions, and I'm not talking about the Pirates being desperate here. I'm talking about this being a seller's market and other teams getting desperate.
Yes.
But to take this further, to your point, Ken Rosenthal, if Jeff Passan isn't the biggest insider in Major League Baseball, Ken Rosenthal is on that list. He had a real weird write-up yesterday saying that Nutting could judge Charrington in part on how the Pirates finished this year.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm paraphrasing what Rosenthal wrote, but if so, why would Charrington deal good players? Bob Nutting cannot evaluate Ben Charrington's tenure on the last 50-ish games of the season, can he? I think that'd be terrible business.
Well, why can't he deal good players? I mean, if he gets something back, which we don't have the faith that he does it, but if he gets something legitimate back, then he can be judged where it's like, okay, this guy did he did what he was supposed to do.
See, that part I do understand. If Keller goes out, you get two bats, they're added to your team, and those guys perform well, then yes, you would use that as part of your evaluation. What Rosenthal was saying, oddly, was maybe he holds on, Charrington does, to his second-best starting pitcher, to his number one bullpen arm, so that the Pirates can win more games down the stretch to save his job. Which, if Bob Nutting, again, is allowing these last 50 or however many games are remaining, if he is evaluating those games to determine whether or not Charrington keeps his job, that is absolutely ludicrous.
Well, I mean, you don't have to trade him, though. I mean, if I don't get what I want, if I don't get what I think that is needed for my ball club, like, then I am going to hold on to those guys and see if we can win as many games as possible this year. So I think that Charrington's, you know, not in a great situation, but it's a good situation. It's like, all right, like, teams are desperate, as you just said,
right?
If I get rid of these guys, I know that I'm being evaluated. I have to get something back. But this is the only way I get something back is if I show that this is what I want. And if I don't get what I want, then I keep what I have.
This would take some truth serum. But if that's why Keller wouldn't get dealt or Bednar wouldn't get dealt, then it'd be hard to swallow. But I'd understand that.
Mm-hmm.
Charrington would say that he wasn't able to get what he was asking for.
Right.
If Charrington was consciously not moving guys
okay,
so that the team pitches well down the stretch so that he can keep his job, buddy, that can't be it.
No.
Bob Nutting, Travis Williams, if Travis is in on that decision, they need to evaluate what he gets back in a deal if those guys are dealt and whether or not they can help for the 2026 Pirates. That, to me, is what this deadline is all about. I'm not thinking about the future at all if I'm Ben Charrington. I'm not thinking of the future at all if I'm Bob Nutting or Travis Williams or anybody within the organization. There's going to probably be a lockout in 2027. I mean, Bryce Harper's fighting the damn commissioner of baseball in his clubhouse. So next year is year three of Skeens. You might lose another full year of control with Skeens if there's a lockout and the players get their way and that year counts towards service time. Next year, Dom DiTomaso argued this yesterday. I've been saying something similar. He always takes things over the top. It's one of the more important seasons in Pirates history next year. So if Ben Charrington, the best he could do for Mitch Keller and David Bednar and whomever else he trades is high end, but prospects that aren't going to be up until after 2027, well, that's nonsense.
That's yes.
You can get I'm honestly okay, dude, with getting a lesser valued prospect who's closer to the majors.
Ready. Yeah.
Now, I still want them to be like a top 100 guy. I'd still like it to be ideally a number one or number two prospect in whatever team system. But if their highest rated prospect is 2 years away and their second highest rated prospect is 6 months away.
Taking that one.
I'm taking that guy.
Yes.
Absolutely. I don't know that I agree with Rosenthal. I think you're on to it there. I don't think Ben Sherrington is going to say, well, no, we got to keep Keller, we got to keep Bednar, we got to keep Santana.
Well, it's not a definite. You know, it's not a definite that those guys are going to, I mean, you know, Bednar's pitched well, but it's not a definite that Mitch Keller and Bednar are going to win them games.
Right.
You know, it's not a definite.
So, right. Like, I mean, has Keller won them games? No, he's been great. He hasn't won them games.
Right.
Because they suck.
Right. So that wouldn't make sense. The only way it would make sense is like, okay, like, I didn't get what I want, so I'm going to keep these guys, especially a guy that, you know, people have an affinity for because he's from Pittsburgh. I'm not going to trade away the Pittsburgh guy. I'm going to keep him here. The former All-Star who's played very well this year. If I don't get, like, two bats.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
it's pretty simple, really. When you boil it down to that, it is really simple.
Yeah.
And
I'm not going to go get a high A player.
I think
you'll be fired.
Right. Right. We got great value out of Mitch Keller. Yeah, you did for a team in that hypothetical. For a team that's in a rebuild.
Mm-hmm.
The Pirates need to be treating this deadline like they're buyers in a way.
Yep.
Like they're selling off a lot of assets, but you need to make baseball trades. It can't be, let's ship off Bednar and Keller together and get this massive haul of prospects. That's not what you're looking for. If it were 3 years ago and you had Keller pitching sure. well and better, absolutely that's what you do. As many high-end prospects as you can, you get them, you throw them against a wall, you see what sticks. But when the goal is to win more games in 2026, and that's what Sherrington said to Zangrilli, that's what Sherrington said on his radio show this weekend, then you need to be getting players who are knocking on the door. So that's a couple of rumors right there. Jeff Passan says he could see Keller going to the Blue Jays. And as we mentioned, the Blue Jays' top prospect is a shortstop who plays high A ball. MLB Pipeline has their 6 highest-rated prospects as pitchers. That doesn't seem like a good fit. The Blue Jays are also interested in David Bednar, according to John Morosi. But again, are you getting a highly touted prospect that's far away? The Blue Jays just simply don't seem like a fit. There's a bunch more rumors. I tried to grab as many of them and put them on a sheet as I possibly could. So we'll get into those over the course of this hour. A lot of football talk today. Doug Whaley from 9 o'clock until 10. Ray Fittipaldo at 8. Most of the 7 o'clock hour will be spent on the Steelers. But tons of rumors. We'll get to them. Ken Rosenthal on the dangers of keeping Keller and Bednar. We'll hear from him when we come back.
Keeping them is you're not going to spend money. We know they're not going to spend money because they're the Pittsburgh Pirates. So if you have any chance to get impact offensive talent back in return for these guys, Keller in particular, with the years of control he has, in my mind, you have to do it. But they know the value of those players to their own organization. You can envision a world, if you were spending money perhaps, where you were building around those guys. I just don't see that world existing for the Pirates. It seems to me that they have to move Keller and Bednar. And I understand where they are, and I understand the difficulty of Ben Sherrington's position. He's under fire. He has his job in question for next year. But in this situation, GMs generally do what is best for the organization. What is best for the organization right now is to trade those guys, both of them, Bednar and Keller, and get as much as you can offensively back.
Ken Rosenthal, big-time Major League Baseball insider, saying because of the way the Pirates do business, makes a ton of sense to trade Bednar and Keller. And that's the world we live in. That's a bummer, but I agree with that. You're not going to go out and spend money on the open market to get a significant bat this offseason. This right now would present an opportunity to upgrade the offense. And if Ben Sherrington doesn't move both of those assets, you are missing a window to get big-time players. You just are. Texter writes in, what if they got high-value prospects now and trade them in the offseason for major league players? That's actually something that Ben Sherrington talked about hypothetically on his radio show this weekend. Oh, look, that might not be bad business. You get as many big-time prospects as you can, even if they're far away, and then you do trade them this offseason. But let me tell you something. That's a tough sell to the fan base. Ain't nobody going to buy it.
Nope.
You tell the fan base, well, we got all these high A guys that are highly valued. Doesn't mean we're going to hang on to them. No one's going to believe that.
No.
And that's a hard sell to ownership, too, because it's a project that's not finished. And so if you're Ben Cherington, you'd be saying to Bob Nutting, well, I know I got these lower-level guys, but they're high-end. We can use them. Well, you don't know what they're going to turn into in the offseason. That's all hypothetical.
I don't know if you're going to be here either, Ben.
Exactly.
To do it. And I don't want the next GM to have to deal with that. So that would be a hard no for me.
Get guys.
Yep.
Not guys who could be guys. Get guys who are guys. Yeesh. Tweet us brought to you by South Hills Kia Peters Township. Visit them at southhillskia.net. And the text line's brought to you by Edgar Snyder and Associates, a personal injury law firm where they always say there's never a fee unless we get money for you. We did not watch the Pirate game last night. It was late. The biggest story with the Pirates, of course, is the deadline. It's important to mention Tommy Pham. He goes 3-for-4 last night. He's hitting .273. Doran, that's the highest batting average on the Pirates.
Wow.
Doran, he has the second highest OPS on the Pirates.
Hmm.
This after being one of the very worst players in baseball for much of the season. Ben Cherington actually didn't get a bad player here. He got a blind guy.
Yep.
Who then figured out how to see. And it's a shame that Tommy Pham couldn't have been this good all season long. But you'd have to think he's going to get traded.
Probably. He didn't get a bad player, but you don't want to get a Tommy Pham to be your best hitter.
That's the issue.
Yeah.
The issue isn't that he signed Tommy Pham. He's actually been vindicated a little bit for that. Like, Tommy Pham is a useful player, and I imagine that another team's going to come calling and ask for Tommy Pham because he's hot and he can help them. So that's not the problem. You're right. The problem is O'Neill Cruz is the only player on the Pirates with a higher OPS.
Uh-huh.
The problem is not one guy on your team has a higher batting average.
That's a problem. That's bad.
And that's why almost, whether this is a word or not, irregardless of what happens the rest of the way, those first 5.5 years from Cherington and the lineup that Don Kelly has to probably grit his teeth in right on the card every night, that should keep him from being the GM.
Yes.
Beyond this season. You can give us a ring in the fan hotline presented by Sullivan Super Service, Pittsburgh's trusted plumbing and HVAC provider for over 50 years. So to jump off that Rosenthal clip where Ken thinks, yeah, the Pirates do need to trade Keller and Bednar. Okay, you get bats. Do they have enough behind Keller in the rotation, behind Bednar and maybe even Santana in the bullpen to make a deal like that? And I've just been saying it like it's a fact for months and months, trade from a position of strength. Let's talk it out and how we actually feel about this potential rotation going forward. Because the second that Keller gets traded, and Heaney's going to get traded, the Yankees, that's another rumor, folks. The Yankees are interested in him.
Mm-hmm.
So you get rid of those guys. You'll have Skeens, Falter, and Burrows in your rotation. You figure Chandler will come up. He's pitched well of late. Chandler, this month, 24 strikeouts, 8 walks, 2.95 ERA in 21 innings. So he's sort of found his footing. So Chandler will probably be up in short order. You'll have 4 guys. I don't know what you do at 5. Is it Ashcraft and Majinski? Yeah, probably.
Probably Majinski.
And you'll kind of patchwork your way through the rest of the year. This year is not important, but I'm just to suss that out. Oviedo, his rehab assignment's been transferred to AAA. Jared Jones should be back, conservatively speaking, by the All-Star break next year. Bubba Chandler, who we mentioned, should be up at some point. Hunter Barco's a top 100 prospect. I mean, that's what you're looking at for rotation depth. Do we feel good enough about that to move on from Keller?
If you get some bats back.
Yeah, yeah.
If you get some bats back,
that's the whole thing.
That's the whole thing. That's why. That's the only way that you move on is if you get at least one legitimate bat back that you can add to the lineup, that you can add to the offense. Then you'd be fine with it.
You need one sure thing.
You need one sure thing.
I'm with you.
You do. Or it doesn't make any sense. You talk about a position of strength. Well, it is like one of the highest positions of strengths in Major League Baseball. I mean, it has been for a while. So you're going to trade away from that to not get anything back, to get maybe a prospect that won't be here for 2 years? You're going to take away from something that you actually did good at? Makes no sense.
No, you need to get And it's hard. It's hard to do at the deadline. You need to get a sure thing.
Yeah.
Because while I am optimistic about this rotation, and I think a lot of people are, tell me where the sure things are. Skeens is a sure thing. Bailey Falter has done enough that if he's your fourth or fifth starter, I think you're elated by that. I believe in Burroughs. I do. He's been really good. He's got good stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Meanwhile, Quinn Priester, by the way, since May 30th, 9-0 with a 260 ERA.
Nice.
And the guy that was traded for Quinn Priester, Nick York, is in AAA, and he's been just a guy. Would be nice to have him, actually. You'd feel a lot better about trading Keller.
Yes.
Not that I was saying that at the time, so I got to be somewhat fair to Ben Cherington. So Skeens is a sure thing. Falter's a sure thing. Burroughs, I think you feel good about. Chandler, the highest-rated pitching prospect in baseball. He has refound his form. I don't think he's a sure thing.
No.
Oviedo's not a sure thing. Jared Jones recovery going according to plan ain't a sure thing. Hunter Barco's a top 100 prospect. Have good feelings about him. He's not a sure thing. Ashcraft's been dominant in the bullpen. Well, so is Majinski. He wasn't good in the rotation.
Right.
So can Ashcraft pitch in the rotation? Maybe, probably, but you don't know. So you've got a ton of options. Right now, if you kept Keller and just, let's say, for argument's sake, spent $50 million this offseason and upgraded your hitting, you'd feel a lot better about the rotation, I think, with Keller.
Yes.
So you need to get a sure thing, like you're saying, because if you don't, you are taking a risk that even though we like this rotational depth, it's far from a promise. So it better be a guy knocking on the door at AAA, and it better be a big league bat that represents a legitimate upgrade. Because if you are guessing with the guys you get in return for Mitch Keller, and you are guessing that this rotation will all come together, next year could ultimately, unfortunately, wind up being worse than this year.
Absolutely right.
As for the bullpen, Dickerson, you do have Ashcraft, you do have Majinski. Isaac Madsen, your guy from Pitt, I mean, he just pumps fastballs today. He's like, hey, good luck hitting this. Yep. People can't.
Yep.
They found bullpen arms too. If you trade Bednar and Santana, those three guys, I think, are the future of your bullpen.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm okay with that.
Mm-hmm.
But again, not a sure thing. So you better get a sure thing in return. Wait until you hear what Noah Hyles had to say yesterday about a potential David Bednar trade. It's a big one. Plus, a couple more rumors to get to before the top of the hour. Top of the hour, Peyton Wilson, Steelers inside linebacker. Did he take a shot at Minkah Fitzpatrick? We'll get to that then.
The optics of it all are going to play a little bit of a part in it, right? If he brings in someone, if he trades away David Bednar, a guy that he knows his boss really appreciates, right? But Bob Nutting has gone out of his way to prevent Bednar from getting traded before.
How about that? Something Noah Hyles has written. Bob Nutting a couple of years ago nixed a trade where David Bednar was going to go out. I believe that deal was to the Orioles. I believe. But either way, Ben Cherington mentioned on his radio show this weekend that whenever he gets trades in place, he has to run it up the ladder. He has to talk to Bob Nutting. And I don't think a guy being from Pittsburgh is a good enough reason to say no to a trade. I think if the return's bad, then okay. But if you're Bob Nutting, you're supposed to hire people that you trust to make the baseball moves, and you shouldn't be nixing any move for baseball reasons. Financial reasons, any owner is going to have to sign off on that. But the idea of David Bednar not getting dealt because he's from here when he's a reliever is wild to me.
All-star reliever from here.
Sure.
Great in the community. That means a lot to ownership. And if it's not a significant return, then it's not worth it in his eyes.
I don't know how many tickets David Bednar sells. I know you didn't mention that, and probably purposefully.
Right.
Because all those other things are undoubtedly true. And he's pitching like an all-star again this year. He didn't make the team, but this is his third all-star quality season. He's a really good player. I don't think a reliever's ever sold tickets. I mean, back in the day when guys were going three innings and they'd have submarine deliveries, okay, maybe. Mariano Rivera, Trevor Hoffman, Billy Wagner just got into the Hall of Fame, but the list is short, and I don't know that you're ever going to a game being like, oh, I better buy tickets because I got to see a reliever pitch. I mean, you probably want to see your starter pitch a complete game, but that's neither here nor there. Bob Nutting should not be nixing a Bednar trade. right now, I guess, is the point I'm making. Mm-hmm. Like, maybe back then when you weren't good.
But what if it's like for
something high, down the road?
Yeah.
I mean, if that's the case, then yeah.
Right.
And if it's with the Blue Jays, that sounds like all that they can offer. That leads me to believe others have speculated that the Phillies are in on David Bednar. I saw one of the Philly radio hosts tweeted late last night just David Bednar's name. There's going to be at least a reliever move from the Pirates. We know Caleb Ferguson, he's on his final year of his deal here, so he's going to get traded. Ryan Borucki was called up from AAA, but Don Kelly said last night he wasn't going to be activated, and he was throwing a side session. From what I understand, Borucki totally healthy.
Mm-hmm.
They're in San Francisco. That's a long way from Indianapolis. He's there because they're going to move a reliever, I think. And it's just too much of a seller's market right now to not move at least one of those guys, and probably both. Class A, the closer for the Guardians, he can't be moved because allegedly he's throwing balls on purpose. He might have been the biggest name up there with David Bednar. David Bednar vaults himself all of a sudden to the top of the reliever wish list.
Then he should get, you should get a good return for him.
Got to get a good return.
Yeah.
You got to get a good return. And to me, it's not because he's from Pittsburgh, you got to get a good return. It's because he's a really good player.
Yeah.
And I don't know that at this point in time you have the luxury of being able to value a guy for anything more than his baseball acumen. And look, it's tough to subtract all-star players like Keller, like Bednar, and get better. But when you've screwed up the last two off seasons and last year's trade deadline as badly as they have, you need to make good on this window right now. We'll see what happens. There's a few more rumors out there. We'll get to those coming up next. 50-minute mark on the Fan, soon to be brought to you by South Hills Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram, Route 19 in Peters Township. Texter writes in, Buccos could bolster next year's team and not add money. Trade Keller for a bat, Cassie. That is one of the top prospects for the Cubs, who has a ton of power, plays in the outfield, and is close to being major league ready. And then trade a few high-end prospects to Cleveland for Stephen Kwan. They have Kwan for two more years. Now, Kwan is a multiple-time All-Star. He's a really good player. Yes, Cleveland is now in seller's mode. Look, if you could pull that off.
Okay.
Hell yeah.
Yeah.
Hell yeah. And then you've got Skeens, you've got Keller, you've got Chandler. You've got that hypothetical rotation we've talked about with your horse, Mitch Keller, right there in the middle of it. You've added a power bat, and then you've added just a great professional hitter in Kwan. Yeah, that would be unreal.
Yes.
It's probably unrealistic. Ideally, yeah, you'd move prospects instead of a guy like Mitch Keller. I don't think that it sends a great message that you make a guy the highest paid pitcher in the history of the franchise and then turn around like a year plus later and trade him.
Mm-hmm.
I think it looks bad. If the Pirates operated the way a lot of other teams do, then they probably would treat the deadline that way. I don't think that's going to happen. Now, here's a note that I think is super important to mention. Johan Oviedo pitched last night for AAA Indianapolis. 5 innings, 2 hits, 1 run, 1 earned, no walks, 5 strikeouts, 62 pitches. So we asked, how do you fill out the rotation the rest of the year if you trade Keller, if you trade Heaney, and they will trade Heaney. The Yankees, again, reportedly interested. You would have Skeens, Chandler, Burrows, Falter, Oviedo.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
That's not bad.
Wouldn't mind getting a look at Oviedo the rest of the year.
Yeah. I mean, this year's this year. Mm-hmm. Is what it is, but definitely would like to see Oviedo. I'm sure he'll be up at some point soon.
Yeah.
Now that, I mean, he's thrown, what, through 5 innings, you said?
Yeah, you go 5 innings.
That's a lot.
That is.
62 pitches is decent.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, efficient outing from him. I mean, you probably want to build him up to like 75, 80, 85 pitches, but that shouldn't take very long.
Mm-hmm.
Next time out, he goes 7. I mean, you think 3 or 4 starts. I mean, he should be able to hit the ground running and just plug and play. And that's good, man, because I thought he was going to be a solution to this thing earlier on in the year. And, hey, We know the Pirates have had, actually, even under Ben Cherington, a lot of success, like bringing in those starters, like Martin Perez last year. I went full.
You did.
I went full accent on that.
You did. Spanish.
I nailed that.
Perez.
You know who's good with that is Joe Block.
Is he?
Joe Block will always go with the native pronunciation, which I think is a respectful thing to do.
Do you think he studies that? Like, I mean, you think that's at the top of his board whenever he's gotten into a game?
I think it's massive for him.
Massive, yeah.
A lot of those play-by-play guys, they are pronunciation junkies, as you probably should be.
Yeah.
Like, I know Tony Caridi for West Virginia, he's obsessed with it.
Really?
Obsesses over it.
I'm sure a lot of hockey play-by-play broadcasters are probably the number one obsessed with it. You have to be.
Have to be.
Is that tougher than baseball?
I think because there's just such a, how do I say this without sounding like a jackass?
Yeah.
I mean, you're talking about a whole bunch of different countries. You're talking about a lot of Spanish.
Right.
For baseball,
mm-hmm.
which I think makes it easier.
Mm-hmm.
What was I saying?
Mm-hmm.
Got caught up in Spanglish. Good movie?
Never saw it.
Okay, good. It's terrible.
Is that what, that's what the
Sandler. Yeah. It was terrible. It's the worst Adam Sandler movie I've ever seen.
Is Drew Barrymore in that one too?
I can't remember.
No.
I don't know. I've only seen it once, and my taste may have changed. At the time I saw it, it was crap. Some more rumors. Ready for more rumors? Rumors. So I've mentioned John Heyman says the Yankees are interested in Andrew Heaney. Take him. Oh, here's what I was going to say before the pronunciation thing. So they got Martin Perez. They had Rich Hill. They had Vince Velasquez before that. The Pirates have... Every year, Bailey Falter, I thought, was going to be one of those guys, and I guess he would count. They've gone out, they've added a guy that you put in the back of your rotation that's been pretty good for them. If Oviedo comes back the rest of your pitches, well, that's money you're not going to have to spend in free agency.
Mm-hmm.
So you don't spend it on a starting pitcher. You feel comfortable about your depth there, and you can spend that on a bat. It's not a ton of money, but you get what I'm saying here. Andrew Heaney to the Yankees, that's a rumor from John Heyman. The Reds, this is a funny one to me. The Reds are interested in Isaiah Kiner-Falefa. Their number one target is Eugenio Suarez. Bang, pronunciation. I love that name. Eugenio Suarez.
It's a good one. It flows.
Mm-hmm.
It flows.
Sounds like it's a romantic name.
Uh-huh.
Eugenio Suarez.
Uh-huh.
IKF, a backup to Eugenio Suarez. So imagine being a Reds fan. It's like, we could get the best home run hitter right there in the game of baseball right now, and Eugenio Suarez to plug our third base hole. They've had him before. Let's go out and get that guy. Fan favorite guy. Hits absolute taters. He's got like 40 homers this year. But if you strike out on Eugenio Suarez, you wind up with Isaiah Kiner-Falefa?
Yes. Yep.
I'd be so mad, dude, if I were a Reds fan. Actually, I'm mad as a Pirates fan that they have been linked to Eugenio Suarez.
Exactly.
And here the Pirates are in year six under Cherington with Paul Skeens, figured that they were going to be in contention. They'd be a team interested in Eugenio Suarez. And instead, hey, Reds, would you like? I know you want Eugenio. Would you like an IKF? Yuck. Key Brian Hayes, that trade interest has dwindled. The Yankees made a trade for a third baseman. They were the team that was most interested in Key Brian Hayes' services. He made another outstanding defensive play last night. The guy can't hit. That's actually one of the few trades I'd feel comfortable in Cherington making, because I don't think you'd get a lot for him, but you would get the salary off the books,
right?
And hopefully you could spend that on a useful hitter. Salary dump shouldn't be hard to pull off. Just doesn't sound like anybody really wants him.
No, but you could attach him to somebody just to get it off the books.
Yeah, you want David Bednar?
Here, take Key Brian.
I bet you that would lessen the return on the other side, though.
You think?
I think. It depends. It does.
Basically, you're just getting him off the books. Like, you're not asking for anything more.
Right.
You're just like, hey.
But I wonder if another team's like, listen, we don't really want to take Hayes. You want a top prospect? Right. We'll give him to you. With Hayes, we're not going to do that.
True.
Texter, Spanglish is not terrible, you idiota.
Idiota. What's it about?
I don't know.
You don't know what it's about and you say it's terrible?
I never saw it.
You never saw it?
Mm-mm. I don't know why. It's onset Molsey disease. I caught it from Bechtold. I lied. I needed to get myself.
You said it was a terrible movie.
I know. If it's got below 50% on Rotten Tomatoes, I'm going to continue to pretend like I've never seen it.
I'm going to say that it has, but it's going to be somewhat close. It's probably going to be in the 40s, 43, sure, somewhere around there. Adam Sandler, yeah.
And the tomato meter is, oh no, 54.
Wow.
And the popcorn a meter, 60, Doran.
Wow, decent movie.
Comedies always get knocked. That's actually a good score.
That is decent. Who's it? Who else is Drew Barrymore in this with him? He's in like, she's in all of his movies.
No, Winslet.
Ah.
Mm-hmm.
Got it.
Like I was saying, Spanglish, great movie. Loved it. December 17th, 2004. Remember exactly where I was when I saw it. All right, we'll keep you. Oh, Salma Hayek's on in it. That movie can't possibly be bad. If you got Winslet and Hayek, what am I talking about?
Tia Leone? She's in it too.
Dang!
You didn't know who that is?
No, I did it again. I faked it again, Dickerson.
He was in Bad Boys.
All right, a lot more on the Pirates trade rumors as they become available over the course of the show. We're going to have John Wehner jump on with us at 8:35. Coming up next, Peyton Wilson talked about an issue that plagued the Steelers defense late in last season, and it's got me asking a simple question about this Steelers defense. First, though, Fan Weather brought to you by Myers Law Group, Pittsburgh's choice for affordable legal solutions.